Genesis chapter 3, we'll begin reading verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Let's turn back to the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians. Read one more verse of Scripture. Book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I don't want to just reach in and pull this verse out of its context, but I believe it would serve us well to read it together with this Scripture in Genesis 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. In verse 11, let me read this to you for the sake of this message. Paul said, Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Lest Satan should get an advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Amen. I want to talk to you on something real simple, and we'll pray again before you're seated. I'd like to just simply talk to you about Satan's trap. Satan's trap. And if I could add a subtitle to this text, not only would I call it Satan's trap, but I'd probably give you some indication as to how that trap is set and how it's laid and some of the things that he uses. I'd probably subtitle this a doubt, a denial, and a delusion. A doubt, a denial, and a delusion. Would you lift your hands this way and pray? Ask the Holy Ghost to have His way here. Father, we love You and we honor You for mercy. We thank You for Your great grace and compassion. Help us here tonight, God. Be a blessing to this congregation. We stand in need of Your touch, O God. We know that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Build Your house here tonight, God. Keep Your city. Touch the lost, we pray. Bring men to salvation. Edify the body. Encourage the saints of God. We'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Church said amen. Now turn around and shake somebody's hand. Smile at them real big. Tell them I'm going to help the preacher preach tonight. Hallelujah. Smile at them or give them $20, one or the other. Praise the Lord. He'd been referred to by many different names all throughout the Word of God. We've called him the devil. He's been written about as the tempter. John the Revelator in the book of the Revelation referred to him as that old serpent. He called him the dragon. And three chapters in from the beginning of the Bible, he makes his entrance onto the pages of the Word of God. But thank God I've read the back of the book, and three chapters in from the last chapter, he makes his exit, never to be seen again. And I'm looking forward to that time. We see him for the first time in Genesis chapter 3. And from that time all throughout the history of mankind, we see him wreaking havoc in the lives of men, wreaking havoc in the lives of God's master creation. And in John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus, our master, said that he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Jesus said he is a liar and the father of it. He gave us some more indication of how he operates and who he really is in John chapter 10 and verse 10. Jesus taught he is a thief and he came to steal, kill, and destroy. Brother Smith, that's what he's been doing for a long time. We see him in Genesis chapter 3 practicing his art of thievery. He came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. In Genesis 3, he came into the garden to effect the fall and the ruin of humanity. He launched his evil attack on those who were made in the likeness of God, those who were created in his image. I don't want you to get sideways with me here, and you may disagree. I saw his fall from grace in Revelation chapter 12. The Bible said there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. And the Bible said the dragon and his angels prevailed not. But their place was no longer found in heaven. They was cast out of the presence of God. And the Revelator said, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath. Hallelujah. From the time he hit planet earth, it was his desire to steal, kill, and destroy among the human race. In that first encounter with humanity, I saw his first goal. Amen. His first goal was to disarm Eve of the most powerful weapon that mankind has ever been given. He wanted to rob her of the only weapon that she had, but the most powerful weapon to ever be unleashed on planet Earth. And Eve was armed with it. The devil knew if he could rob her of the weapon of the Word of God, then he could have his way in her heart. This same weapon Jesus, our Master, would use in the wilderness temptation to defeat the devil at his own game over and over and over. And this same weapon, the Word of God, you and I must learn to wield this sword of the Spirit with accuracy, with courage, and with bravery, especially in this dark generation that you and I have been thrust into. Eve's weapon was the Word of God. Amen. Her Bible was small. Only two verses, two breaths. Amen. From the mouth of God. Two little verses was as big as the Bible was in Eve's generation. Amen. But that was all the weapon that she needed. And she could have used quite powerfully those two verses to defeat the onslaught and the attack of the enemy. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, the Bible gives us those two powerful verses. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Two brief verses. Amen. But Eve, amen, misquoted it three times when she was trying to recite it back in the ears of the enemy. Two times she subtracted from what God had actually said, and once she added to it. Amen. After Satan saw her lack of care for God's command, he knew he had her exactly where he wanted her. Can I talk to you right here? It's impossible for me to overestimate the importance of the Word of God in our generation. It's impossible for me, amen, to overemphasize how necessary it is to hide God's Word in your heart that you might not sin against him. It's impossible for me, amen, to put too much emphasis on the importance of the Word of God in our generation. Hallelujah. If we'd get back to the Bible, wouldn't be near as many divisions and splits and isms and schisms among the body of Christ. It's our roadmap to glory. It's the blueprint for our lives. It's our marching orders. Come on now. It's our light that we must walk in and we must live in. Hallelujah. It's important to know the Word of God. I'm not going to bore you with a bunch of facts and figures. I've been doing a little research, and you know what I found? Especially right here in America, we're living in the generation that reads the Bible the least and prays the least amount of time of any generation that America has ever produced. Is it any wonder our nation is in the condition it's in? And before you shrug your shoulders and say it has to be this way, amen, before you show me your defeatist mentality, amen, and let me know that you believe it's got to happen like that. I want to tell you something. We know that in the last days, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Hey, but I read the book, and the book said, and the light shined into the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You know what that word means in the Greek? It means it could not defeat it. It could not overtake it. It could not have the victory over it. Light is greater than darkness, and our light comes from the Word of God. Hallelujah. Wave your hand and praise the Lord right here, will you? After Satan saw a lack of concern for God's command, he must have licked his lips and smiled, understanding, I've got her right where I want her. He launched his attack in three different ways. He launched his attack with a doubt, a denial, and finally a delusion. He uses this same trifold attack on us today to get an advantage of us. Paul said, for we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Amen. We don't want him to have an advantage of us. But I want to tell you something, this evil trinity of temptation. Amen. With a doubt, a denial, and a delusion is the same way he approaches you and I in our generation. Did you see his approach when he came to her with the doubt? He said, yea, hath God said. And I know this is elementary preaching. This is real simple. Amen. I want you to understand the devil's tactics has not changed. He's the same devil as he's always been. Amen. He's still doing the same things he's always done. And if he can get you to doubt the Word of God, he'll have you where he wants you. Yea, hath God said, I can see him with a big smile on, saying, how do you know that's what God said? After all, you wasn't there when the word was spoken. How can you be sure that that's really what he said? Did you hear him say it? It was repeated to you by your husband, wasn't it? He gave it to you, got it secondhand. Yea, hath God, is that really what God said? Let me tell you something. I was there when you said it. I'm talking about the devil now. I was there when it was, are you sure? God said death. You know what? I've seen that same attack launched over and over in the homes of families in the holiness movement. I've seen that same attack over and over and over launched by the enemy of our soul. Amen. To destroy faith. Amen. And pull us down to a base place where he can rob and destroy and devour our lives. Amen. Yea, have God said, I'll tell you some folks, we don't have time to get to fussing about how long is long and how short is short. Come on now. We don't have time to get to fussing. Amen. About this, that, and the other. Amen. What you drink, what you don't drink. Come on now. We don't have time to split hairs in this warfare that you and I have been thrust into. If God said don't do it, then leave it alone. If God said don't touch it, don't touch it. If God said take it up, then take it up. Hallelujah. Yay. Hath God said, oh God, amen, he moves in among us with a doubt. You know, I've never in my life seen so many Greek scholars. I've got a few books, but I'd rather trust a living Holy Ghost than a dead Presbyterian wouldn't you? I live in Christ rather than a dead Baptist. Come on now. Amen. Yea, hath God said, amen. I thought about Hebrews 10 and 38. The Bible said, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. This is a faith walk. I didn't have to be there when he said it, but I believe it with all that is within me. I didn't have to be there when Moses carried the tables of the Ten Commandments down off the mountaintop, but I believe every word of them. Come on now. I didn't have to be there when Jesus wrote in the sand and forgive the woman caught in the very act, but I believe it with all my heart. Praise God. Amen. The devil can't make me doubt it. Hallelujah. Sure, I believe. God parted the Red Sea and thousands multiplied. Thousands of Israelites passed over in one night on dry ground. I believe every word of it. I believe he fed them 40 years in the wilderness with manna, angel's food. Their fathers didn't know anything about it, and their sons and daughters wouldn't know anything about it. God invented it, created it, did it miraculously just for them. I believe it. I believe when they got to grumbling and complaining, he sent them enough quail. Amen. They eat it till it run out their nose. Come on now. I believe it. Glory to God. I don't doubt it. Hallelujah. I believe it with all that is within me. Amen. I didn't have to see it. I didn't have to be there. It's alive inside of me because I'm a man of faith. I'm living by faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hebrews 11 and 3 said, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Doubt is the opposite of faith, and Satan is a master at trying to make you doubt. When God speaks to you, amen, maybe there's some young convert. I don't know. I hope there is. You ought to be young converts in all of our churches. I hope there's some here tonight. I'd like to encourage you. When God, the Holy Ghost, deals with your heart, you don't have to call every preacher that's come through and preach revival. You don't have to take a popular opinion poll among the community of believers. If God talks to you about it, do it with all your heart. Just do it. Obey God. Hallelujah. If he said quit it, leave it alone. If he said take it up, take it up. If he said wear it, then wear it. Praise God. Just do what God tells you to do. Praise the Lord. Faith is the opposite of doubt. Amen. Listen, he come at her with a denial. Ye shall not surely die. Not only did he try to create a doubt in her mind, but here he comes with his denial. He stood flat-footed, so to speak, and looked to Eve right in the whites of her eyes and said, I know better than God. You ain't gonna die. I know some things that you're not aware of. I know some things that you're not privy to. I have a knowledge that far surpasses yours. And I'm telling you, ye shall not surely die. Come on now. Amen. He flat out denied the truth. Amen. The inspired authority of God's infallible word. Amen. He denied it. And it was an effort to create a denial inside of the heart and the mind of Eve. Death for eating fruit from a tree. Come on now. You really gonna die if you reach out and touch that fruit and pluck it and put it to your lip. I don't think he's that kind of God. Do you? Huh? God really going to kill you? How ridiculous. It's nonsense. God is a loving God. Huh? He's not a God of death. He's a God of life. He created you in his likeness. He created you in his image. I'll tell you about the devil. My wife encountered somebody not too awful long ago. I hope this ain't too base and plain. I'll try to get away with this. And if I'm, you just pull on my coattail if I go too far. My wife just encountered somebody who's already been married twice and a divorce twice, and now she's openly, brazenly, very proudly, actively involved in a fornicating relationship. Here's what she told my wife. God made me like this. God gave me these feelings. This is just natural. If God gave me these feelings, then how can it be wrong for me to satisfy? Yea, hath God said. Sound to me like she been listening to the wrong voice. Come on, say amen. Been listening to the wrong. I'm talking about a denial. A denial. Come on here. Amen. I don't want to be ignorant of Satan's devices in this dark world that you and I have been thrust into. Amen. We are that generation upon whom the ends of the world have come. And I don't know how you feel about it. I've got a pretty good idea that you're with me. I want to be a light. I want to be like a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. I want to be the salt of the earth in this generation. I want to shine like a candle in the dark midnight. Come on now. Amen. I want to be righteous. I want to be holy. I want to affect my generation with the Word of God and the power of the Holy Ghost. So there's no room inside of me for even a little bit of denial. Come on now. Not even a little bit. He only wants to frighten you. He just wants to scare you into obeying him. You won't die. As a matter of fact, you really just begin to live. Go ahead and bite it. I've had them tell me that it backslid from holiness. And, I want to be real careful. We talk about holiness as if it's ours. It ain't ours. It's his. Belongs to him. Without him, none of us would be holy. It's impossible without him. And I'll tell you something. We talk about holiness, holiness, holiness. We're Christians. That's what makes us holy. The blood of Jesus Christ has washed us and forgive us of our sin. That makes us holy. When he did that, he put inside of us a heart, amen, that caused us to want to keep his commands. Amen. He said, if any man, if you love me, keep my commandments. He said, if any man love me, he will keep my word. He made us that way when he saved us. Come on now. It's all about him. It ain't about us. It's all about him. But now, here comes the devil with his deceptive denial. I've seen multitudes of people through the years. You know, Sister Teague and I celebrate 25 years of salvation this year. And in 25 years of trying to go to heaven, I wish all of them that I've seen just come and go was here tonight. There wouldn't be room for them. A lot of them believed Satan's lie. It feels good, do it. There won't really be any consequences. He loves you. You're not a sinner. You're a saint. You're a child of God. Why, you got saved when you was just a boy. You've been saved since you was a little girl. Huh? God knows how you are. He knows you. He loves you just the way you are. Come on now. Amen. Oh, I don't want to fall for Satan's lie. Amen. I want to fear the Lord. Amen. To be the beginning of wisdom inside of me. I want to fear the Lord to tend to my life. I want to fear the Lord to be the beginning of knowledge. Come on, say amen. I want to fear him with a godly reverence and a godly holy fear. Amen. I want to live for him when he speaks, whether it's a still small voice in the midnight or if it's a voice of thunder on a cloudless day. I want to hear what the Spirit says, and I want to follow him with all that is within me. Praise God. A doubt, a denial. Now let's talk about this delusion. Ye shall be as gods. The promise was what is what we're seeing so much of in our generation. The promise of demonic freedom. Freedom from restriction. Freedom from narrow-minded thinking. Freedom from a book that was written in antiquity. A book that's ancient. Freedom from all of that that you've been living. Huh? There's only one way, folks. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Don't you fall for Satan's delusion. Everybody that hollers hallelujah is not going to heaven. Everybody that says, I believe Jesus was the Son of God, is not going to heaven. Amen. The writer said, the devils also believe and tremble, but ain't no one of them saved. Come on now. All of them's going to hell. Amen. You know what you got to do? Amen. You got to believe and you got to live for him. Faith has to be transformed into action in your life. Faith without works is dead, is what James said. You got to put one foot in front of the other and walk for God. You got to live for God. You got to serve him. Listen, we're not going to work our way to heaven. But when we get saved, there will be good works that accompany us on our journey home. Hallelujah. Yes, there will. Delusion. Ye shall be as gods. Access to a wonderful, glorious world of knowledge. Hallelujah. The 60s, I wasn't born until 67. Some of y'all probably remember. In the 60s, there was a gateway of drugs opened up in our nation. And as a matter of fact, all around the globe, people was using powerful chemicals to have hallucinations. And a lot of that morphed into weird religious experiences. Come on now. Satan's been doing that for thousands of years. Thousands and thousands of years. Come on now. Promising this world of knowledge, this access to the wonderful, glorious, untainted wisdom. Amen. Ye shall be as gods. What a delusion. Come on now. Huh? What a delusion. We're seeing that delusion manifested in our generation. On a daily basis, especially among church folks. Amen. We've got our Kenneth Hagins and our Joel Osteens and our T.D. Jakes. Amen. Speaking things into existence and amen. Putting $1 million smile on it. Amen. Teaching and preaching this name it and claim it. Kind of a blab it and grab it kind of a gospel. And their gospel's all about us. It's all about what I want. It's all about my happiness and my peace and my success. And it has very little to do with him. And what he did on Calvary and how he resurrected the third day with the keys of death and of hell. Come on now. Very little to do with sanctified living and the power of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. Come on now. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want the truth. I want the reality that only can come from God's Word. I want to live for him. I want to serve him so I can be blessed in my generation. Oh, lift your hands and praise the Lord here, will you? Woo! I've got a little ways to go. I'm not going to keep you long. Temptation, the appeal, the three areas where man still has to guard himself against Satan's attack and his attempt to pull us away from God. The lust of the flesh. The tree was good for food. No doubt about it. The lust of the eyes. The tree was pleasant to look upon. Pleasant to the eyes. The pride of life. A tree to be desired to make one wise. John gave us our ammunition. He put the weapon in our hand in 1 John 2 and 15. When he said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father's not in him. I can tell by the look on your face. You've heard this talked about and preached. until it's almost become threadbare. But I'll tell you something. Instead of seeing how close to it we can live without actually crossing the line, we ought to make a run for Canaan's border and get just in deep inside of Canaan as we possibly can and live there like Abraham did, a stranger and a pilgrim looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father's not in him. It's an impossibility. Amen. Friendship with the world is enmity against God. It's impossible to love the world and the things of the world and say you're going to heaven. You can say it all you want to. You've got to fall out of love with that and fall in love with him. You got to fall out of love with this and fall in love with him. Once Eve accepted the devil's lie, began to reject God's truth, Satan was able to lead her from one foolish act to another. It's a downward progression. Once she yielded, I'll tell you something, he led her to where that fruit was, and he said, look at it. Oh, it's beautiful. You know, if you eat that, you're going to be wise beyond belief. Now, I'll tell you something. I don't tell everybody this, but I've tasted it, and it sure is good. Just go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. Bible said she saw. The devil fastened her gaze upon what was forbidden. Soon she couldn't take her eyes off of it. She knew no was the command, but still, she couldn't tear herself away from it. It looked so wonderful. And the longer she looked at it, the more appealing it became. The longer she stared at it, the more desirous of it she was. Amen. A lust began to grow in her heart, and soon it consumed her. Did you know a large percentage of temptation comes to us through things we see? Come on now. Amen. Through the lust of our eyes. Satan's desire is to turn a look into a lust. Oh, it won't happen to me. That must have been what David said, the man after God's own heart. When he stayed back at the time kings went forth to battle, one evening he was out on his veranda. Down over the wall in the neighboring courtyard, there's a beautiful woman. He knew who she was. Uriah the Hittite's wife, Bathsheba. I don't know how many days. I don't know if it's a one-time ordeal. I kind of feel like it might have happened days, maybe even weeks. Probably got to know what time in the evening she liked to come out and bathe herself. He'd slip to the veranda. He'd watch her. Instead of his cheeks blushing with embarrassment at the first glimpse, he gave place to that desire to look upon something he couldn't have. Huh? That look turned into a longing. That longing turned into a lust. That lust consumed his life until it became his lifestyle. He had the man killed, took his wife. Come on now. Oh, God, and death came to the palace because of the sin he had committed against God. You don't think it matters where you look? Ask Lot. He was just as blessed as Abraham was. As a matter of fact, he and Abraham were so blessed, the land couldn't contain them all. We see a little revelation of the heart of Lot when he chose the well-watered plains of Sodom for his cattle. Listen, he seen that was a land that was good for cattle, just like Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh. And the Bible said he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Every morning when he'd wake up, he'd go out to the door of his tent and he'd look down the hill. He'd see all that activity down yonder in Sodom. And that look turned into a longing. That longing turned into a lust. Instead of pulling up his tent pegs and moving on and traveling on like old Uncle Abraham taught him to do, instead of looking for a city, instead of being a stranger and a pilgrim, he traded his tent for a townhouse in downtown Sodom. He, like the prodigal, joined himself to the citizenship of that country. We see him later sitting in the gate, a place where the elders would come together to make judgments. Amen. He was so involved in the leadership of that community. He lost his wife when judgment came. He lost his sons-in-laws when judgment came. And eventually he lost his daughters to the sin of Sodom. Matters where you look, ask Achan. They conquered Jericho with a high and mighty hand. God did just what he said he would do. But he told Israel, do not take anything out of that city. It's a cursed place. Everything in it's cursed. And if you take it, you're going to be a cursed thing like it. But Achan saw a Babylonian garment. A wedge of gold. Some silver shekels. He must have looked around while nobody was looking. Huh? You know what a great person told me years ago? Amen. This great person told me, said, character is who you are when you're all by yourself and nobody's looking. Nobody's watching. Nobody's listening. Come on, say amen. I want to be real, don't you? I don't want to put on. I don't want to be fake. I don't want to be make-believe. I want to be real. Achan took it and it cost he and his entire family. Listen, a desire is turned into a look. A look is turned into a lust. Amen. A lust is turned into a lifestyle. Not only did she look at it, but she took it. Now the plan was to turn a desire into a deed. It had to be Eve's choice. We know what the devil's desire was. You and I know what it is tonight for every one of us. But it has to be your choice. Just like it had to be Eve's choice. The devil is a master at persuasion. Come on here. He'll even throw intimidation in. Every once in a while, he's a persuader. God talked to me just a few days ago when I was getting this together. I seen the devil tempting Jesus in the wilderness and how the power of the word, the weapon of Christ's warfare was the word of God. You know, he withstood every temptation with the word of God. And the devil took him up on a high pinnacle of the temple and he said, jump, jump, go ahead and jump. It's written, he's give his angels charge concerning thee. Go ahead and jump, they'll bear you up on their wings, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You're the Son of God. I know you are. Just go ahead and jump. While all that was taking place, boy, don't you know that devil wished he could just reach out and push him. He could persuade, but he couldn't push. It works the same for us, Brother Smith. He can try his best to persuade us, but he cannot push you into doing anything that you refuse to do. Come on, say amen. Huh? Oh, the little children said, the devil made me do it. That's a lie from the devil himself. The devil can't make you do anything that you don't want to do. He can't make you participate in anything you don't want to participate in. He can persuade, but he cannot push. You can resist him with the power of the word of God. It had to be her choice. Amen. She reached out and she took the fruit. About half tempted to pull that big old purple right off of there, but Sister Prescott might get me. Wait a minute. God said, this is what God said. No, he didn't really say that. This is the consequence. Oh, it won't happen that way. Go ahead. She's looking at me. Instead of running, instead of fleeing. You know what God talked to me about years ago? She would have learned the knowledge of good and evil in God's time by simply saying no every time she passed by that tree. No, I'm not going to do it. She would have learned eventually it's good to obey God and it's evil not to. But the devil talked her into the shortcut. Come on, say amen. Huh? She reached down. Lightning didn't strike her down. She didn't start trembling and sweating and foaming at the mouth. There she had it in her hand. She took. It was her choice. And she chose to disobey God. Now she's holding a forbidden thing in her hand. The Bible said she did eat. Now see the desire of the devil to turn her choice into a chain. That was his desire all along. Jesus would later say, John 8:34, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Her choice became her chain. The devil just wrapped her up in it. And he locked the lock on it. And he knew he had her. Huh? It would cost her. It would cost her husband. Huh? It'll cost you if you disobey God. You can keep telling yourself, I don't have to live for him. You can keep telling yourself, I don't have to go in that direction. You can keep telling yourself, all them old holiness people, they're crazy. They've lost their mind. It don't take all of that. You don't have to go that far. You don't have to live that deep. We're all God's children. Had a guy that was a real good friend of mine years ago. He was a Christian man. He talked to me about getting saved. I worked with him, and he talked to me about getting saved. I got saved. Amen. After I'd worked with him for several years, and we had wonderful conversations. Amen. But he fell out with me. I'd been reading the Bible. I got saved and I started reading the book. He said one day in a discussion, you know, we're just all God's children. We're all God's children. Well, I just had read where Jesus told a group of people, ye are of your father the devil, and the deeds of your father ye will do. Come on now. And so I turned to the chapter and the verse. I said, oh no, according to this, we're not all God's children. The devil has some children too. Come on now. His blood pressure went up and he didn't want to be my friend anymore. Huh? Oh, you can believe anything you want to believe, but when you're judged, you're going to be judged according to the things that are written in this book. You can go to any church you want to go to, but if you're attending one that don't preach this Bible to you, you better get up and run just as fast as you can to a church where there's truth, a church where there's righteousness, a church where holiness is preached and practiced. Habits grow. It starts out little, real small, but it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. You begin to yield yourself to it, and what's flimsy in the beginning becomes much more formidable as you repeat it time after time after time after time. I worked, reached out, you know, after I first got called to preach, got to trying to minister to some folks on the street in Ashburn. There was a group of homeless men that lived there. And there was a gentleman in particular that lived there. His name was Wade. And I just called him Mr. Wade. Mr. Wade was a drunk at that time. Ashboro was a dry town. And so to get drunk, they'd go to the pharmacy and buy mouthwash. And they'd drink mouthwash. And they'd just get on binges, stay drunk for weeks. They'd beg, bar, and steal to get mouthwash to lay drunk. I got to reaching out to Mr. Wade trying to win him. You know what he told me? He told me he's from down around Goldsboro, North Carolina. He said, I got a wife down there. Everything he owned was in a black trash bag. Filthy, nasty, scruffy. He's a hobo. He said, I got a wife in Goldsboro. Got children, got a family down there. You know what he told me in conversation one day? He said, preacher, you know how all this started? You know how I ended up here? He said, I never was a drinking man. He said, I was grown. I was a grown man before I ever drank my first beer. He said, I got to running with some buddies at work. One hot summer afternoon, I found myself at one of my buddies' houses. They was all sitting out in lawn chairs under a big shade tree with a cooler full of beer. He said, they was all drinking, having such a big time. And they'd been offering it to me over and over. I just never did find a taste for it. Never did desire one, he said. He said, but that day, that hot summer day, I took the first. With tears puddled up in his eyes, he said, now here I am because of that first beer. His choice turned into a chain. It was almost so heavy he couldn't bear it. That man died, far as I know, he died drunk. Never could win him to Christ. Never could Get him to pray and talk to the Lord. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little feet, where you go. There's a lot of truth in that. Live for God with all that is within you. Finally, the Bible said she gave. I want you to see this, and I'm going to quit, and we'll come to the altar. Satan's ultimate goal was to turn the sinner into the seducer. He won her. She sinned. She ate. And then she went to her husband and gave it to him. And he did eat. Look, here comes Eve walking up the path with a half-eaten piece of fruit in her hand. She's not dead. Don't even look like she's dying. She walks right up the path, right to the house. Walks in across the porch through the front door. Approaches Adam. She says, look here. This is that fruit. But I met somebody in the midst of the garden today. We've been in denial. Huh? We've listened to the wrong voice. Look. This is beautiful. Ain't it beautiful? And it tastes so delicious. You know, I think I feel a little better since I eat part of this. Won't you go ahead and eat? The sinner became the seducer. Listen, mom and dad, if you've ever lived wholeness, don't let down on your standard in front of your children. Huh? Oh, I can take you to preachers' houses tonight that let down in an effort to try and keep their teenage children occupied with the things of God. The things that used to be wrong, all of a sudden they wasn't wrong anymore. I know preacher after preacher who let down just a little bit to satisfy the desires of their teenage children, and now their children's out and they're not even living for God. Some of them preacher brethren have come back. They've come to full circle and they're living holiness now. One of them in particular comes to mind. He told me through tears, I made some changes in an effort to keep them, and I lost them anyway. You know what keeps us? Our God. The victory of the blood of Jesus over our life. The power of the Holy Ghost manifested in the services. When we get to singing and worshiping and preaching and praising God, jumping and a shouting and a dancing all about. Come on now. You get the Holy Ghost moving in your home. Amen. It'll keep your children interested in the things of God. But if you start compromising, you start letting up. Come on now. Before you know it, you'll be talking to somebody else. Look, it ain't hurt me none. It didn't affect my walk with God none. The sinner became the seducer. How many? I'm quitting right here. How many wholeness churches? I'm an evangelist. I'm a pastor. I'm not a pastor. I'm an evangelist. I've got a hit and run ministry. But I'm a lot closer to 50 than I am 40. And I've done this a little while, so I'm just going to say some things. Is that all right? I'm not the authority on everything. But I have experienced some things and seen some things in churches. And I've seen entire churches go worldly because of just a little handful that was allowed to continue to participate in their worldliness. Come on now. And place was made for them. I'm not talking about loving the lost. I'm not talking about discipling people to love Christ. I'm not talking about not being long-suffering and not being patient with folks. God knows He's been long-suffering with me. Can you shout amen? He's been long-suffering with you. He's a long-suffering, patient God, and I'm glad He is. I'm talking about folks that know better. They start drifting. Huh? And they're let alone to drift Before you know it, there's a little group, a little club, a little private clique right in that body. And those sinners will become seducers. They'll seduce other folks in that congregation. Come on, it ain't hurting me none. You can look at it. Come on, let's go to movies. Come on, it'll be all right. Huh? Let's go. Come on, come on. Come see my grandson play ball. Huh? Huh? They'll get to missing wins tonight to go to the Boy Scout meeting. You ain't shouting too high, but I'm a feeling better all the time. Huh? Oh God, I don't want to be the seducer. I don't want to be the sinner or the seducer. Amen. I want to represent righteousness, don't you? I want to represent right things. I want my heart to be overwhelmed with the love of God. I want to be gentle and meek and patient and long-suffering. I really do. But when God looks down on me, I want Him to see somebody with clean hands and a pure heart. Amen. That's got a longing to ascend to the hill of the Lord. Stand with me, would you, all over this place. I've been going back reading some things, asking God to help me. God's stirring my heart. He's stirring me. And I just read some things about that revival in the Hebrides, the Isle of Lewis. Duncan Campbell went there to preach for 2 weeks upon the invitation of two sisters with the last name of Smith. He ended up staying over 2 years. Great things happened. And I'm wonderful things happened. And I read one of the little stories about a group of men that was praying in a barn. They'd been doing it for months. They'd go to that barn and they'd go through the motion of prayer and they're seeking God for revival. There was a backsliding that had taken place. You can say what you want to, and I don't want to be the wet blanket here, but I don't feel like we're just all getting closer and closer to God. It appears to me as if, I know the Holy Ghost is moving. I've seen Him. I've felt Him. I've been an eyewitness of it. I've seen folks born again this year. I'm going to see some more of them born again. Huh? I've seen a little 8-year-old boy talking in tongues. Baptism of the Holy Ghost out in Oklahoma just a few months ago. Huh? I know God's still moving. But my general consensus is there's a laziness. A slothfulness about the general population of the Holiness Church, and a great lack of desire to have a move of God. And I've never been a cheerleading kind of fella. If you get in, get it this week, you're going to have to get in, get it for yourself more than likely. I've never been to, come on, give me a J, give me an E, give me an S. I just ain't that kind of guy. But I do believe with all of my heart that God is looking over the balcony glory in a little congregation of people in Martinsville, Virginia. He's got a great desire, Sister Prescott, to open the windows of heaven right over this little Holiness Church and begin to pour out His Spirit upon us. Come on now. He's got a great desire for some of these teenagers to get the Holy Ghost. He's got a great desire for some of these families that are struggling to get victory in the altar. He's got a desire to help us because He's for us. Hallelujah. And it's going to take a great desire. They're praying in that barn on the Isle of Lewis. And the story said there was a younger man as a deacon in the church. He jumped up one night in the middle of that prayer meeting. They was groaning, moaning, agonizing, trying to find the will of God. So that young deacon jumped up and shouted in distress, "Shall we continue to merely go through the motions of prayer with nothing to show for it? Or shall we ask ourselves, what is the hindrance?" I'm not quoting it verbatim. God came to his heart with the verse, I believe it's in Psalms 24. "Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? But he that hath clean hands and a pure heart." That young deacon shouted to the rest of them men down on their face of praying in the floor of that barn, "Shall we ascend to the hill of the Lord without clean hands or a pure heart?" And the story said he fell down prostrate on his face, weeping, shouting, "Oh God, give me clean hands. Give me a pure heart." Come on now. Amen. They said the windows of heaven opened and God stepped down in that barn that night. And that was the beginning of a great move of God all across that part of the world. Are you going to talk to me while I'm preaching? We can have the same thing happen in our lives. We can have the same experience here in this meeting this week, but we got to come clean. We've got to get hungry for God. Lift both your hands, give the Lord a good praise here. Come on, somebody, praise Him. Do not doubt God. Do not doubt His word. Do not begin to deny what He has said. Don't fall into the trap of the delusion. Amen. Live for God with all your heart. Brother Makem, when He speaks it to us, even when it sounds silly, God's got a purpose for it. God's got a reason for it. God's talking to us for a purpose. He's wanting to move us close to Him. I just want to take a poll right here. Just to clear this, get this off of my mind. I just want to see your hand raised if you've prayed for a move of God in this meeting this weekend. Let me see you raise. Have you prayed for a move of God in this meeting? Look, we got the great majority. We've got the majority right here tonight. Amen. I don't believe we're praying in vain. I don't believe we're praying. I don't believe we're asking amiss. I believe God's a hearing us when we're crying out to Him. Amen, Brother Wood. I believe He wants to help us. Hallelujah. Amen. Come on, lift your hands one more time while the musicians come around, get ready to sing. Just before we gather in these altars. Come on, let's worship Him. Right out of our heart. Hallelujah. Somebody come on around to the piano. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And ask you to bow your heads with me here. For just a moment, just before the church comes. Just before the saints come gather in around the altar. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not a Christian. Maybe you're here and you're not where you need to be with God. Perhaps you've come to this meeting. You're a backslider. Maybe you've lived for Him. But you're not as close as you one time was. I'd like to open this altar service with an invitation for you to come. You're not here by chance. You're not here just by coincidence. This has been a divine intervention. God purposed in His heart to meet with you here tonight. Now here you are. Here He is. He's ready to do business in your heart. Is there one person here tonight who'll step out and say, "Preacher, I need to pray. I'm not where I ought to be with God. I want to come forward so the saints can pray with me. I want to talk to Jesus about the condition of my heart. I don't want to leave this world in the condition I'm living in. I need a change in me." Is that the way you feel? Won't you come right now? Doesn't matter how long you've been going to church. If that's the way you're feeling, you ought to step out right now and come to this altar in Jesus' name. Brother Tig, I'm backslid. I'm not living close to Him like I one time did. I'm not serving Him in active duty like I one time did. I need His touch. I need His care over my soul. I need Him to help me. Won't you come right now in Jesus' name? Come on right now. God bless you, ma'am. There's somebody else that needs to come. You ought to step out. There's the first, and is there another? You need to come talk to the Lord about your soul before the church comes and gathers in. I'm not where I need to be with God. I'm ready to pray, preacher. Won't you come on? God bless the little children. He said, unless you become like one of them, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. Oh, you got to humble yourself and you got to recognize I can't do it without you, Lord. I'm tired of putting on. I'm tired of going through the motions. I'm tired of wearing a mask to the house of God, making out everything's okay. I need you to help me. I need you to touch me as anybody else. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now's the time. Now's the time. Hallelujah. Come on, church, everybody that will. Let's gather in around these altars. Let's seek the face of God for just a little while. Let's ask the Holy Ghost to send revival to our movement. Send revival to our nation. Come on, let's talk to Him. Let's ask the Holy Ghost to help us to be what it is He wants us to be. Come on, let's plead the blood of Jesus over this service, over this time in the altar, over this meeting this weekend. Hallelujah.